Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel this morning is Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 31. Instead, continue to seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, because your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not become old, a treasure in the heavens that will not fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Be like people waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. Blessed are those servants whom the master will find watching when he comes. Amen, I tell you, he will dress himself and have them recline at the table, and he will come and serve them. Even if he comes in the second or third watch, they will be blessed if he finds them alert. But know this, if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. You also be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you are not expecting him. The Gospel of our Lord. Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends in Jesus, there's an old joke about a scientist who approaches God. And he says, "We've come a really long way. We've developed so many new things. Things that would have been considered miracles back in Jesus' time were well beyond that. We have eyeglasses. We can see. We have prosthetics. We can treat things we've never treated before. We can even duplicate life with cloning. And we've discovered how to create life." And God says, "Is that so? Why don't you show me?" And the scientist stoops down and says, "Okay, well, first you take some dirt." And God says, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait just a minute. You get your own dirt." You've heard that before, right? Many of you. It's a good little illustration, I think, of how many things we have that we take for granted, like the very dirt of the ground we walk upon. And when people think they've got it, when they've thought big and broad and high, and they think that they're beyond God, all of a sudden there's a world that's a little bit bigger than they ever imagined. And it goes by without any thanks. When was the last time you thanked God for the air that you breathe? Did you say that prayer this morning? Or the food that you eat? Maybe some of you, if you got to squeeze it in this morning with your breakfast. When you thank God for the ground you walk upon. All of these great good things that we just take for granted. And when we think about that, it might cause us to wonder and fear, because if we've been thankless about that, how would God ever give us his kingdom? And so then we start to think, how can we work for it? And then there's even more fear, because we know we could never earn it in the sight of God. So we might try and supply our own kingdom by gathering things. But in the end, that's not the way God has designed our faith. He's given us so many things we take for granted. And it doesn't just stop with the air we breathe and the ground we walk upon. In fact, it's his good pleasure to simply give us his great riches. He simply gives us the kingdom. That's the kind of heart our Father has. He gives us his kingdom in its entirety and out of his own pocket. When Jesus spoke to the people today, he called them a flock. I'm not sure how familiar you are with sheep. A flock of sheep with a good shepherd. But one thing people have noted about this illustration is how directionless and dumb the flock is. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. I think about this every day. Maybe not every day, but I should think about it every day. As far as dumb and directionless, what am I even doing as a husband? I don't always really know. And some of you parents, you might wonder, what am I really doing? And you're caught in between two different philosophies of parenting, or more. And some of you children might get in an argument in the car, and you don't even know what started the argument, but you can know without a doubt that the reason for all of this is the reason for all of temptation and darkness and evil consequences in this world. It's sin. It's because of sin that we're dumb and directionless. And not only that, but Jesus calls the flock little. This is a flock that's in the minority, not marked by greatness. I saw a video yesterday online of someone in the street preaching, and there was a microphone, and people could approach the microphone, and someone approached the microphone and said, "You only believe these things because of your Christian privilege." And I thought that was interesting, because throughout time, Christians haven't really been privileged people. Sure, it's privileged information. I'm sure it's something that God wants to reveal to all people, but He uses people to do it. And so Christians have approached the good news, have been approached by the good news from all walks of life, rich as well as poor, from wise men to lame people sitting at a pool just hoping that an angel might come by and heal them. It's marked by the minority. That's the kind of flock that Jesus speaks to. And when He looks at us, He certainly doesn't see greatness. He sees that sin of dumb and directionless sheep. There's danger in this kingdom. We're a little flock because the world hates the flock. And we're certainly outnumbered. Outnumbered by our own sins. Outnumbered by death. And outnumbered by the devil's temptations. And that's why the flock has a good shepherd. A good shepherd who knows our hearts and knows how dumb and directionless we are. It pleases Him to give you the kingdom. What a fearless policy to remove our fears, to remove our doubts and worries. The suggestion that we might supply the kingdom. The suggestion that we might earn the kingdom. No, you don't have to fear it. It's a good thing of God to give freely and without any cost. And only God can do this. I can't win it. I can't go to a cross and pay for someone else's sins. Only one man could do that, because He was also true God. Our Savior Jesus Christ. He's the only one who could win it. I can't earn it, like so many religions out there suggest. You have to grasp and claw tooth and nail for your own kingdom, or to maybe outbalance the evil that you've done. Or maybe just get up a little farther on the rungs so that maybe God will say, "Well, you're not perfect, but you're pretty good, so come on up here." It's not how grace works. It comes when you understand you are a member of the flock. Dumb and directionless, this little flock, but with a good shepherd. A good shepherd who offers you the kingdom. A good shepherd who has spoken to sinners and knows just what we need. We need the kingdom out of His very own pocket. And so Jesus continues, and He talks about this wedding banquet. A master is going to return. In fact, there's a few different parables here. We can get a little mixed up if we're not careful. And I wanted to focus on the part where He says, "Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not become old. A treasure in the heavens that will not fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys." Jesus has followers who rest a lot of their dependence on their possessions. It's funny how that can cause you to fear. What kind of things keep you from serving in the kingdom? You know as a Christian that you ought to serve, but what kinds of things hold you back? You know as a Christian you ought to give, but what kinds of things hold you back? It's often because our dependence rests so completely on our possessions that we're afraid we're not going to get a return for what we put in the plate, or for the time that we spend serving God, or for the talents that we use to His glory. Isn't it? We just don't think we're going to get a return. Otherwise, wouldn't we give a little more of our time, talents, and treasures? It's been said that usually a good thing to do when your sinful flesh wants you to sin, when you feel the heat, is to do the opposite. For instance, if you're tempted to curse, what should you do? What do you think? Pray? If you're tempted to hurt your neighbor, what should you do? What would be the opposite of doing what your sinful flesh wants to do? Is to help and befriend her, right? Defend her. What should you do if you're tempted to slander somebody? You should speak well of that person, shouldn't you? And so, what should we do when we're tempted to rest our faith and our life and everything that is us on our possessions? Jesus says it, and give it away. It's to give of what God has given you. To prepare your hearts for what God gives, a really good way to do it is to release some of the things He's given you in this earthly life. Now, we don't expect that you're going to go home and you're going to sell everything, so you have to be a beggar on the streets. That might not really serve God's glory. But you should give away every worry and every care that's attached to the good things God's put in your hands, in your house, and in your pocketbook. Every worry, every dependence. See, Jesus really knows how to get at the heart. Not at the material stuff, but what's in here. And if I find that I'm relying so much on things that God's given me, I'm not really relying on God Himself, am I? And so with these powerful words, with this command, Jesus expects us to be giving and of a giving attitude. We talked about this last week. How much do you get to keep in the life to come? You can't take it with you, can you? I recently replaced my wallet. I got this from this old brown trifold that was breaking and falling apart. I got this nice bifold. It's black. It's got an American flag in black on the back. I think it's pretty cool. But even this wallet is going to wear out. And the stuff inside of it isn't going to help me for heaven. And so Jesus says, provide purses for yourself or money bags that will not wear out, that will not be corrupted, that will not be destroyed. And then he goes on and talks about servants. Blessed are those servants whom the master will find watching when he comes. Amen, I tell you, he will dress himself and have them recline at the table, and he will come and serve them. Can you believe it? Astonishingly, the Lord of the servants doesn't expect them to serve him. The tables are turned. The servant, the Lord, serves the servants. Did that strike you when I first read it? How different that is? When we prepare our hearts, God astonishingly says, I'm here to serve you. That's actually why we call our church services church services. Yes, we serve God with our thanks and praise, but how much is that compared to the way God serves us in word and sacrament? God's taking away our sins and filling us with good things that save our lives forever. If we think our service to God can possibly match that, we'll try this. On a sunny day, I guess not today. On a sunny day, take a flashlight and shine that up to the sun and see how much warmth and heat the sun gets from your flashlight. That's how much our thanks and praise serve God. Yes, it goes unnoticed. God loves that. But how much more is God serving us, the Lord and Master of servants who've prepared our hearts through the law, so ready to hear God's gospel? And what are His gifts? What does this Lord serve His people? Something prepared by someone else? Absolutely not. It's something that He has prepared Himself at the cross. His perfection, His good works in our place. His forgiveness of sins, His eternal life and salvation. Our Lord and Master has prepared it for you. You see how ready and pleased He is to give you His kingdom out of His very own pocket because it cost Him His very own life. And so, brothers and sisters, use your earthly purse and money bags for the kingdom of God. I'm asking you to consider your heart and where it is. It's a very sensitive topic. Maybe that's why Jesus uses it so often to get to the heart. He talks about money and possessions a lot, but he never ever talks about money and possessions unless he's getting at the heart of those who would hear. So search yours. What will you give anew to the God of this kingdom that he gives so freely, so completely, so entirely out of his own pocket? Amen.